Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everyone to Trenton White Sports. You know, been out for quite some time. Kind of excited and a little bit nervous to come back on the air. Have not been on in several months. A lot of you guys knew that I'll be going on a little vacation. We went about 2 years straight, G Money and I, 5 days a week. We had shows going all the time. Had some personal things come up. Had to really clamp down. It was hard to do to step away from the scene for a little bit, but I think it was the best thing to do because now I'm recharged. A lot more things happen, and we're more stable now as a company and a radio station. Didn't realize how much we've grown until, you know, you're not there and people are looking for you. Glad to be back on. Glad to have all you guys back. We got a nice few weeks of shows coming up, and a lot of things happen. I mean, we have a lot of things to talk about. We got boxing news. We got NCAA news. We got high school news. We got my own personal issue with a high school coach. And we want to, you know, talk about, you know, where's the line drawn when it comes to coaches and a parent's kid playing on a team. So we're going to talk a little bit about all that. But today, as you guys did see, we had Mario Elie, who was supposed to come on. Mario had a personal issue. He's going to try to call in. We had him on before. A lot of people liked when he was on. He had a great insight on the NBA, a great insight just on basketball, and had some fun with him on. So hopefully he can call in. If not, you know, things do happen. We got the champ, Amir Abdullah, kickboxing champ, calling in. He's going to be calling in talking about the fight with his camp, Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao, that's finally made. Finally made. I mean, after years and years of talking and years of just things not coming together, it's going to happen now. Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, I think, no matter what, these guys could have waited until they were 45 to fight. People still would have bought it. It's going to be probably one of the richest fights of all time. It's going to be the most anticipated fight of all time. And this is going to be a pretty good fight. I mean, a lot of people, you know, some people say Pacquiao is going to win by knockout or decision. You got more people saying Floyd's going to win. You know, look, I'm not going to give any opinion on this. I told you all what I think. I think it's going to be a great fight. That's all I really want to see is a great fight. So, look, the fight's made. And with the fight being made, at least we're going to see it. It's going to be a high ticket to order it. $70, I'm hearing. That's okay. A lot of us don't want to, you know, pay that money, but I'll tell you what right now, after what I seen last night, look, it was great fights. I'm talking about NBC, and before I thank my sponsors for the show, look, NBC ran free fights. Those fights could have very easily been pay-per-view undercards or on HBO or Showtime. Some people don't have those premium channels. We kind of understand why they did that, but what I didn't like about what NBC did is you don't want to be too careful when you have boxers on. Boxing's a very violent sport. I've been watching boxing for years and was in the ring myself. I don't want you beeping out the trainers. I don't want you beeping out the fighters talking. And if somebody says a bad word, yeah, you know what, there's kids watching, but that's boxing. If you're going to do it right, don't do it at all. I like the fights. It's nothing against the fighters. It's how you presented it. It was almost like a very carefully orchestrated show. Adrian Broner never talks like he has sense. All of a sudden, I see the Adrian Broner who's talking trash. Yes, he gets on my nerves, but I'm used to it. And just so happened in the interviews, he's calm, he's speaking correctly. It's not the Adrian Broner I knew. And then after the fight, he talks his little trash, and the guy steps in like he was going to say something bad. No, he was talking trash. I didn't mind what NBC did as far as the fights. I think the Thurman fight was great. I think the Broner fight was kind of, you know, he had a very carefully picked opponent to make him look good there. I don't think it did much. It's another win. It didn't show much, still. That's the Adrian Broner I've seen before. I would have liked to have seen a tougher fight. But, hey, a win's a win. We're going to talk about Floyd Mayweather. We get the champ coming on who hasn't been on for some time. Champ has welcomed a new life into the world. He's now a father. And the champ now is going to be looking forward to his fights coming up. We're going to talk about that. But, champ, good to have you back on. Good to be back on myself, but good to have you talking about the fight me and you talked about a few months ago, and now it's going to happen.
Trenton, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be back on the show.
No problem, champ. No problem, champ. So how's it going, champ?
Man, everything is great. Everything is blessed. Taking it one day at a time.
Well, champ, you know, the fight was finally made. You know, we talked about it for so long. And the fight's finally here now. And so now we have Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, going to do this in May. And a lot of people, you know, I made a very good point. This fight's so big. These guys could have waited 5 years and made the fight, and people still would have been as excited as I am and that everyone else is. It's going to happen. I'm glad it's going to happen. I think You know, I don't think Floyd really needed this fight, but he's doing it for the fans, obviously, because I don't think, you know, when you look at boxing history, he needed this fight, but this is going to do nothing but enhance, I think, both their histories as a mega fight.
Floyd's legacy will not be as remembered if he didn't fight Manny Pacquiao, even though a true avid boxing fan can always identify that Floyd really doesn't need Manny, because where Floyd and Manny separated was the Marquez fight. Floyd destroyed Marquez. He made him look like he didn't even belong in the ring, and Manny ended up getting knocked out. And, you know, I believe out of the four fights, Marquez won at least three of them. One of them decisively, you know, the knockout. But Floyd doesn't need Manny. But the way that that Manny's camp has spun this thing, and, you know, you got to give him credit, is they made Floyd the front runner, and they said, listen, they put enough pressure on him where he had to do it again to define his career. But listen, it's going to happen, and this fight is going to be like no other fight we've ever seen or probably will see, Trenton. As far as ticket prices, I mean, it's crazy. This is not going to be a you want to go to the fight. It's going to be can you afford to go to this fight?
Right.
We're talking about ringside seats are going to be, you know, six figures. It's just not normal. The cheap seats are going to start at around $5,000, and that's if you can even get your hands on them.
Yeah. Well, champ, you know, I've been talking to a few people, a few fight fans about this fight, and some people are saying, you know, they're really going out on a limb. They're Manny Pacquiao fans saying, look, Manny's been looking for this fight. Manny's going to come in probably the best we've ever seen him. And they're pretty much saying that, you know, Floyd has nothing really to fight for. You know, he controls everything. And Manny's been waiting and been doing a lot of talking, saying he's chasing him. And now finally he gets the fight. And some people think that Manny's going to have that extra bite just to come and make this a better fight. Me personally, I just don't see how, you know, Manny's going to come forward, and we all know Floyd has the great defense, and Floyd's just a master of not getting hit. He's a great counterpuncher. I just, you know, when you put this fight together, you could do all the scenarios, you know, that you could put together in your head, but you don't really see how Manny wins this fight unless he catches him or just comes in and fights a whole different way. Benzo, he's going to be the smaller guy too, as far as punching.
Right, yeah, listen. Yeah, Manny's going to make Floyd fight in the first couple of rounds just because that's Manny's style. You know, he blitzes, he comes in, he's fast. He's not going to let Floyd sit in that pocket and kind of dictate the pace. But I believe after two or three rounds, when Manny starts feeling himself getting clipped for every time he opens up, Floyd's going to see something and tag him on his way in. He's going to humble Manny against his own willingness, and it's going to change the dynamic of the fight tremendously. But listen, the first couple of rounds, it's going to be tense. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fast. As the fight progresses and as Manny starts realizing every time he opens up, he's going to get clipped, he's going to get timed, he's going to get walked down, the fight's going to change. Don't be surprised to see Floyd put Manny away. I know that sounds crazy, but don't be surprised to watch Floyd finish Manny Pacquiao. I'm watching him in sparring. Man, this kid is he just started camp a week ago. He's already sparring, and he's already putting guys away. He's not taking this one lightly at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's look ahead. You know, I meant to ask you this, and, you know, let's say he wins this fight. I think he has one more or two more fights left with Showtime. A possible opponent. I mean, people are saying Amir Khan. I personally like Amir Khan. I don't think Floyd is going to go to England and fill up a soccer stadium, but maybe he will do that. You know, does he present a little bit of a challenge, which, you know, people are coming to me saying, hey, what about Amir Khan? Look, I like Amir Khan, but also I know he has no chin. I just don't see how he gets hit a few times and, you know, how he stays in this fight. But he is quick. And let's be honest, Floyd isn't as quick as he was 5 years ago, but he's still quicker than 99% of the boxers. But Amir Khan's greatest asset is his speed, even though he has a glass chin. Is that a possible fight if this goes well against Manny? And being though he has one or two more fights left on Showtime?
He's got one more fight left on Showtime to fulfill his contract, and that brings him to 49-0, depending on what happens with Manny Pacquiao. But does Amir Khan present the next viable opponent? Without a doubt. Will Floyd go to England? There is no possibility. Floyd's an MGM guy. He's loyal to MGM. He's loyal to Las Vegas. That's where he's going to fight. That's where he'll end his career. But, you know, what kind of threat does Amir Khan pose? Listen, his last fight, he looked tremendous. It was the best Amir Khan I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But let's
yeah.
not forget this. You can, no matter how good you look, your chin never gets better. Your chin is what it is. Is
yeah.
he fast? Yes. Is he, you know, slick? Yes. Is he learning some new things with Virgil Hunter? Probably. But once he gets tapped on that jaw, what's going to happen to him? He's going to sleep. Unfortunately,
yeah.
listen, I like Amir Khan. I do. As a boxer, as a Muslim, as a you know, as a fighter, as a person, I think he's great for the sport. But I don't think that it's a safe fight for Amir Khan.
No, not at all. You know, I want to pick your brain here really quick. You know, I watched last night free fights, and look, I'm all about putting fights back on NBC. I'm all about
yeah.
you know, for the people who don't have the premium channels or people who can't afford a pay-per-view. That was very good what they did. I just didn't like, you know, I'm so used to pay-per-view. I'm so used to the raw footage of boxing to where they tried to, you know, tone it down a little bit. You know, we're both not, you know, we're both not fans of Adrian Broner, but that wasn't the Adrian Broner I know. I mean, when they showed the interviews, he was really calm, and they really act like they talk to these guys and say, look, let's be kid-friendly here. Look, champ, I get it. But if you're going to do boxing, I say this, let it be raw. Don't beep things out when they're talking. Don't. Had the ref over-referee the fight like the guy did in the first fight with Broner. It was just too much.
Broner, yep.
I just couldn't stand
right.
it. I didn't like it. I appreciate what they're doing. But did you feel it was kind of overprotected last night?
That's a great point. Listen, there's no doubt that NBC did everything they possibly could to ensure that they censored Broner's big mouth. There's no doubt that you know, they orchestrated a very family-friendly, a very non-boxing-oriented kind of crowd. You know, before the decision, a big screen came out and said, the decision. You know, any boxing fan knows what's next is going to happen is the decision. I think they did a good job painting that. And this might be the first step into attracting a larger boxing base, right? So in that sense, I loved it. I loved that it brought boxing into the living rooms and family rooms of every household that has a TV, they're able to watch, you know, on regular network TV, they're able to watch boxing and a high level of boxing, not
right.
just, you know, these are top contenders. I love that. I understand what you're saying. You know, yeah, it's nice to hear the guys, you know, in their own element and really, you know, what boxing stands for, just, you know, that raw nature that, you know, that side of them. But, you know, Adrian Broner also, is a kind of guy that recently has been trying to reinvent himself. Maybe Al Haymon's in his ear, maybe you know some of his people are in his ear, but everywhere he goes, he's getting booed. I mean, when he walks out, when was the last time that you saw a fighter leave the ring and have, you know, a drink spilled on him from the crowd throwing bottles at him, right?
That's amazing.
That doesn't happen, man.
No.
Adrian Broner has created this cult that hates him. Okay, it's one thing to portray a bad guy, but it's another thing to be hated and despised so much. And I think he's reinventing himself. He just had a baby and he's saying, you know, I'm a father. It's changed me. I'm doing this. So I don't think, I mean, it could have been, and again, I don't know, but it could be, you know, a mixture of NBC's, you know, added soft touch or censorship plus his reinvention of himself. It could be all that, right? Either way, I hate the guy and I can't wait for him to go away.
Yeah. You know, before we get to you and the birth of your child and your next fight and the fighters in your camp, where does he go from here? Because I watched that fight last night with Broner, and I follow his career closely because I don't like him either. But I watched him last night, and I'm thinking, I don't, you know, of course he's quick, he's slick, he's trying to be like Floyd. Let's be honest, he has talents, but I don't see him really dominating that division, any division he picks. I just don't see where someone like Madonna, who stays on him, that hits him, can't do it again.
Right. No, the problem is, stylistically, Madonna's a problem for a guy like Adrian Broner. And here's the reason. Broner is a very conventional type of fighter. He throws good punches. He throws them correct. His leverage is right. His balance is right. He's in the right place at the right time. A guy like Madonna is very much like a guy like the Prince Nassim, if you remember him. He's just, you know, all over the place. He surrounds you like you're in a gang fight. You know, those guys stylistically give guys like Broner a problem. And that's why he, you know, won a couple of rounds against Floyd, because Floyd's very similar. The difference is Floyd's boxing IQ is leagues above Adrian. That's why he was able to adjust the way that he did. Where does he go from here? Listen, here's what you got to remember. He is an Al Haymon boy, which means that he's got the whole world, the whole boxing world is open to him, especially now that, you know, PBC and this you know, this new network is coming out. Nah, man, he can. He's got his pick. He got a win. I mean, you know, he's going to be able to move, and he's going to unfortunately, stay around for a little while. Unfortunately, John Molina didn't open up the way that he hyped us up that he would.
Not at all.
And he put on a very boring fight. And unfortunately, and I hate to say this, but unfortunately, Broner won.
Yeah. You know, I expected to see, you know, this guy that's going, just make it a street fight. He didn't do that. I think, you know, this fight might have hurt him for other fights. He'll be nothing more than a trial horse now, for real, just because of this fight. But, you know, let's talk about yourself. You know, you had a congratulations on your new child. You know, everything you do, you know, you're helping fighters. You're training for your fights. You're going out to Vegas to train with the Mayweathers, and you're just all over the place. And then you have a kid. And, you know, how does it feel to be a dad now with everything going on? You know, look, you're a champ. You're dedicated. You do what you got to do. Now you have an extra incentive to do what you do even more. So how does it feel to be a dad?
It is, every day is better than the previous. Today was better than yesterday. Tomorrow is better than today. It's a phenomenal. I mean, you know, I hate the cliche of it changes your life, but listen, man, it changes your life. I mean, I'm so, every time I look at her, I mean, I have the attention span literally of a 1 year old. But every time I can look at her and just stare at her for hours on end. So it's a blessing, man. It's great. Yeah, you know, we've got a lot of things that we're doing out here in Vegas. You know, we're still growing Lace Up Promotions. I'm getting ready. Hopefully, it looks like an August fight for a world title. I just signed Floyd Mayweather Sr. as his agent. We're making some moves, man. It's a blessing, and we're happy with what we're doing. And thank God, you know, it's one step at a time.
No, you're a busy man, but I got a fan who just sent me an email. He wants to know when are you going to fight downtown and fill that arena. He thinks you could do it. He would like to see you. He would like to get more people out there to see you. When's that going to happen?
We're targeting the first week of August. We're just in the final stages of negotiations now, and it's going to be a game changer. The production that we're going to bring, and you know, it's we obviously are under a contract. We can't say anything right now, but it's going to be a big.
All right, champ. Well, look, good to have you back. I'm glad to have you back on. Look, I'm just getting back after a few months, still getting my bearings, but good to have you back. I'll be calling you later on because I got some things for you. I would like to, you know, be right there when this happens because I think it's going to happen. I think it's long overdue, and I think you're the guy to bring the fight game back to Buffalo. There's a lot of good fighters out here. Your promotion's doing very well, and I think that next step should be right around the corner for you guys to really put Buffalo back in the forefront of being a fight town. Champ, congratulations on being a dad. Have fun out there in Vegas. We're freezing here in Buffalo. You're in Vegas. God bless you for that. You know, but good to have you on, champ. And any final words, buddy?
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much, Trent. It's always such an honor and a pleasure. I always say, no matter what, I'm from Western New York, man. I'm from the ground roots of Lockport, New York, and Western New York. No matter what happens, I always remember where I'm from and my community. So I'm blessed in that sense. You keep doing what you're doing, man, and keep putting these sports on the map and keep growing, Trent. I'm proud to be affiliated with you.
All right, champ. You know what? We'll be talking to you later. Thanks for coming on. Have a good day, man.
All right, brother. You too. Take care.
That's the champ, Amir Abdullah, U.S. light heavyweight kickboxing champ, world champ. He's going to have some big fights coming here. And, you know, when you look back at the history of Buffalo, me being from Philly, that's a fight town. Buffalo also is a big fight town. And I think he's going to be the guy to bring this back. You know, we hit on the Floyd Mayweather fight. And, you know, I'm going to tell you guys right now, I like Pacquiao. I like Floyd. But when it comes down to as a boxing fan, as a guy that knows boxing, I just don't see how Manny Pacquiao gets it done. I know he's going to make it exciting. Look, he's going to get his shots in there. He's going to take shots. And that chin has been tested. Look, if you don't think it's a big deal when a guy gets knocked out once, it's a huge deal. Floyd, I'm sure, has been stunned. Everyone gets stunned in the boxing game. But Pacquiao got knocked out by Marquez. And Marquez, just like the champ said, looked like he didn't belong in the ring with Floyd. But this is a big fight. And Pacquiao's got to bring it. All the years of saying you were chasing him. All the years of saying that he was scared of you. Guess what? The fight is here now. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to see the best of both guys. I've seen Floyd from when he started. He's one of the best of all time. I watched Pacquiao, too. He was the best of all time until I think he got knocked out, and that showed me something. He got knocked out by a guy that Floyd just took apart. Just took apart. It's going to be a big fight, though. I can't wait. My goal for you guys right now is to get someone from either camp on the show to really push this. And we hope the champ gets it going and we can get a big fight downtown at the First Niagara Center and just bring the fight game back. Look, I'm a fight guy. I'm a football, basketball, and then I'm a boxing guy. I'm a boxing guy. I want to see fights. There's a lot of good fighters here that no one's heard of that need that push. And they need that support from Buffalo, like Baby Joe Messi got. There's a lot of other fighters here that could use that same support. So hopefully we can get this back on. We're going to take our first caller here on the Trent White Sports Radio Show. And I'm so excited to be on. I'm starting to get my rhythm back now. I'm starting to get it back. You know, kind of nervous when I kind of, you know, came on air, but I'm slowly getting back. Welcome to the Trent White Sports Radio Show. Who's calling? Hello? Well, certain things don't change. We still have guys that call the show and do not answer, and that's fine. That's fine. We get guys all the time like that, and, you know, I just think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing guys call, but guys, look, when you call in, please, when I pick up the phone, all right, but look, we got some big things. Let's stay locally, West New York, the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills made some noise, and look, this is, you know, I'm not going to say the same old Bills, but they got Rex Ryan. If you thought the Bills 10 years ago, you never would have thought the Bills would have even considered a guy like Rex Ryan coming to Buffalo, being the head coach of the football team, but he's here. And I think what you're seeing right now with Rex Ryan is the Rex Ryan effect. We all know he likes to run the football. He likes to ground and pound. You got a guy like Sammy Watkins. Now you got a guy like McCoy. And yes, is this the end-all, be-all? No. The Bills should make the playoffs with this running game, but here's the problem, guys. I'm going to stop you in your tracks. Quarterback. Let's face it. E.J. Manuel, the first-round pick, could not stay on the field, and we had to be led by a veteran quarterback, Kyle Orton. We had to be led by him, and we didn't make the playoffs. There are some good signs, but it wasn't enough. It's going on 16 years. It's got to get done next year. Everyone makes the playoffs. And when you're a Bills fan, you got to think, you know, our heyday was when we were making the Super Bowls, and now everyone has made the playoffs pretty much before us. In an age where you could almost build your team and convince players to come play for you, the Bills haven't been able to do that. And fans have been teased every year. They win four games here when the when Trent was here. You start off 4-0, then it falls apart. Or you're just right there and it falls apart. You never really have enough. I'm not a Bills fan. I live here. I'm an Eagles fan. We've won nothing either, but we've been in the mix, been in the playoffs. I cannot imagine as a diehard Bills fan, you buy the tickets. And God bless the people who go out there every year, buy the tickets, and sit and watch the same old thing over and over again. It drives me nuts even seeing it, and I feel sorry for the fans who got to go through it. But that's what it is. And now you have Rex, who's sitting here, making things happen. I'm glad he's here. I'm very surprised the Bills did it, but he's here. And only to top that was to get a running back like McCoy. Now, let's be honest. I'm going to tell you right now. I think it was a crazy trade for the Eagles, but not really. It makes sense when you really think about it. Look at the great running backs, LaDainian Tomlinson. Think about it. He's a prime example because he kind of resembles what McCoy does. Remember Sproles a few years ago? Think about it. Remember Sproles? How many great running backs have been around, had two or three great years, and then they're just a good running back? They have a few big games here and there. They put a lot of mileage on those tires. McCoy has a lot of mileage on those tires. But he's going to get the Bills at least two good years if they use him right. Me personally, I threw out there on the Trent White Sports page on Facebook and the Twitter, look, if you're really serious, Are you willing to give up Sammy Watkins for a real quarterback? Not Matt Castle, a real proven quarterback. A blockbuster trade for a real quarterback. I think Buffalo's more attractive. You got Rex Ryan here. You got Wiley. It looks different. This is not the same old Bills. It looks a little bit different, and I think you can make moves like that now. Getting McCoy and getting Rex, if you're a Bills fan, you got to understand that raises your profile just a little bit. It raises the profile. It shows you're serious. It shows you can go out and get guys who are known. You're not going out getting a guy like Chant Gailey from 6 years ago. You're not going out getting Williams. You're not going out getting these guys who are being head coaches for the very first time. It just doesn't make sense. But now you're looking like you can flex some muscle. You get Rex Ryan here, and then you get McCoy. It makes you look more relevant, and that's been the Buffalo Bills' problem for so long, not looking relevant enough or attractive for players to want to come from bigger cities, bigger teams have been to the playoffs, to come here and die. It's never been like that. I think it looks like that now, and I think the Bills are on the up. But bringing in Matt Castle to me, is he going to compete for the quarterback position? Because if he is and he wins, you better do something about E.J. Manuel. You better do something about E.J. Because let's be honest, when they signed Matt Castle, you weren't thinking starting quarterback for all you E.J. Manuel fans. Because I wasn't thinking about it either. Matt Castle should be no more than a guy that E.J. can learn from. But let's hold up. Here's a guy that really had one decent season with the Patriots when Tom Brady went down, which raised his profile, got him a nice check, went to another team, and you see what happened. See, the NFL is a very funny sport. Football is a funny sport. All it takes is one good season or a few good games, and who not to go after when the quarterback of all time, the best of all time, Tom Brady goes down with a knee injury, and then boom, you get your shot. You lead the team with a winning record. You don't make the playoffs, but you've proven you can play the game. Which some people say that proves that, you know, Brady's a system quarterback. We're not going to get into that, but it makes a little bit of sense. But now he's with Buffalo. You got EJ sitting there. A lot of high hopes for EJ. And now you're sitting here, and you're like, okay, Castle, what are we going to get from this guy? It's a very tough question. Very, very tough. I don't know what to say about it, but look, it's just better to see the Bills in this. We're going to take another call here and see if we can get someone to actually respond. Welcome to the Trent White Sports Radio Show. Where are you calling from?
It's Money. What's up, man?
Hey, G-Money. We got G-Money on here. G-Money, executive producer, vice president, whatever you want to call him, of the Trent White Sports Radio Show, who's been off for some time now, itching to get back on. You know, G-Money feels a little different. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, with the emails I got when you're coming on, the response when they heard we were coming back on, I was kind of nervous. But after like 5 minutes talking to the champ, talking to the fights, I'm back to just running my mouth and just everything that I was thinking about the time we were off just coming out now. How's it been, Money, and what's going on, and what do you think about what's going on in the NFL, especially the Bills?
Well, it's good to be back, obviously. You know, it's been a long time coming. You know, we had to get some things in order, you know, with your life, my life. You know, we had to get some things back in order, get our houses back in order. But it's good to be back on, man. I'm excited. Fans, you know, we're going to be bringing more shows to you week to week. Should be fun. But I like your intensity already. I love it. Back to the old ways, you know, back to the good old Godfather. I like it. Intensity's good. Especially when we're talking about the NFL, man, which is why Bills fans should be extremely excited about what's going on so far. And you touched on a couple of those points already. Rex Ryan, how can you not like this guy? When he was the coach of the Jets, yeah, we hated him because he was on the Jets and he ran his mouth and everybody was like, okay, he's terrible. But now this guy's all in. I mean, he's changed his tattoo on his arm. He said he wants to live in part of West New York that gets the most snow. He's like, I want to live there. Would have like East Aurora or something. Now he has that giant F-250 decked out in Buffalo Bills colors. I mean, this guy is insane. I mean, how could he not be more in with Buffalo? I mean, the fans love this guy. I mean, the city has embraced him already, and he hasn't even led his first practice yet, which is, you know, fantastic. And, you know, they make moves. for Richie Incognito, which is a low-risk move because it's not for a whole lot of money. If that works out, great. If it doesn't, you can just cut the guy, and all your out is about, what, $650,000 on your cap? So
yeah.
that was a good move by Whaley there. Then you make the trade for LeSean McCoy, you know, which was a shocker. I mean, it definitely caught me off guard. I was driving down the 190 listening to the radio, and that comes on, and I'm like, what? And what the heck just happened? You know, I mean,
yeah.
They just trade LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso, and it happened. And I just want to touch on something real quick here. For the last couple of days when this LeSean McCoy story was circulating that, you know, he was angry, that he wasn't, you know, happy with the trade, he didn't want to come to Buffalo, is it just me, or do you feel that the national media just thinks that Buffalo is such a joke that they, like, made that a bigger deal than it should have been? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? If the national media did, I think, you know, with the Buffalo's history, I think Buffalo kind of broke it on themselves. I think my position was when they signed Rex, that kind of erased all that. But then you get a player like McCoy that really doesn't make – to me, look, I'm a Philly guy. I get it, but it doesn't make sense on their end. But he's a running back, and I totally understand the life of a running back. We've seen this so many times before. I think it was a move that they didn't really want to do, but they did it. I was really upset that we got Kiko Alonso for that deal. Look, he's an Oregon guy. I get it, but I believe when you're an NFL coach, all that college stuff goes out the window, and now it's a real business. But, yeah, as far as the impression, how the national media made it sound like, I think it was a well-deserved kind of perception of Buffalo because we haven't made the playoffs in 15 years. Just mm-hmm. Some players come here to die. You haven't had a real quarterback. It's been disarray, and it's slowly coming back. So I kind of get it, but they didn't have to go as far as they did. But now it happened. I think if we have a good season, I think people are going to look at Buffalo and say they're serious. And I think more players in the league will really start looking at Buffalo as a stop because, look, let's be honest, G-Money. People will play for Rex Ryan. He wasn't in the best situation with the Jets, let's be honest. We didn't like him with the Jets, but it wasn't the best situation. I think this is better. Buffalo's on the up, and I think he's the right guy to experience this.
Exactly. And you're 100% right with Rex Ryan. Players love to play for this guy. I mean, you've heard, I've seen multiple messages from different players who've played for Rex in the past that say that they would run through a wall for this guy. You know, and that's the kind of coach that you want. That's the kind of coach that you want coaching your football team. We haven't had that in the last 10 years. We haven't had a guy over the last 15 years, probably since Marv, who players love to play for, who they would run through a wall for. They would do anything to win for that coach. And that was just the first step. That was just the first step. And then bringing in a guy like McCoy, bringing in a guy like Castle, I mean, yeah, he's a journeyman veteran, you know, 32 years old, but yeah, he's going to get the chance to compete for the position. But I don't, if I'm Bills fans, I don't want him to beat EJ Manuel out because I think Manuel fits Greg Roman's style of offense perfectly with that read option style offense that they were trying to instill when Marone was here, but Marone obviously didn't do a good job with the grooming Manuel at all. But I would actually like to see Manuel, you know, play for Roman's offense. I'd like him to run it because you've seen what Roman's offense can do with an athletic quarterback like Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco. And as far as athletic ability, I think EJ Manuel's right up there with Colin Kaepernick. Now, as far as our throwing ability, accuracy, that still has yet to be seen because Manuel's only played 14 games. But as far as athletic ability and you know, just football smarts, I think he's just right up there with Kaepernick. So then we can see what happens when, you know, he starts getting that offense with Greg Roman and see how that goes. I'm interested to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, and for anyone just coming in here, this is Trent, my sports radio show. We're back. We're staying local. We're in Western New York. All you national guys, got a quick email from Dallas. The guy that's always called me, Mr. Jim. We're going to talk about your Cowboys later, but we're going to bring in a new guy, the Trenton White Sports, a.k.a. the Buffalo Water Cooler. You know, I went through a lot of guys, G-Money. You know, we had guys come and go. We had interns come and go. But we got a guy hopefully who's going to stick here. We do need help. That's kind of why we took off for so many months. I mean, we wore ourselves out for a year almost every day doing shows. It just killed us. But now we got a guy, I just happened to run into at the store one day, heard him listening to some other radio show that I didn't care much for, and I said, hey, you're a sports guy. I said, sure am. I said, so what do you do? He's at Buff State doing journalism or broadcasting. I said, you know what? Come to my show. We'll give you a bigger base. We'll have straight-up talk. We're not going to kick gloves on you. He was all for it, contacted me the next day. I told you money. You talked to him. And we got him on right now. The rookie, my man, Nick Crawford. Nick Crawford, welcome to the Trent White Sports Radio Show. And before I get you going, you got a national audience here. You're one of the few. We don't really bring anyone in. Very careful. We've been burnt many times, you money. You get attuned to that, you know.
Yep.
So you're here. We're happy to have you. Welcome to the show, and what's going on, man?
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. It's a pleasure to be on the show. I've got to say, I'm really enjoying listening to this so far. I really like the intensity you're bringing, and I feel like I have a lot to offer to the conversation, too. I'm from Buffalo, go to Buff State, but I like to expand my sports horizons. It's more than the Bills and Sabres and that. I think I could bring to the table something for everyone around the country, around the area even. I don't know, guys. It's an honor for me to be on with you.
Well, let's get a question there. You heard me and G-Money talking about the Bills. You know, we're going to stay local mainly for you here. We want to hear your opinion about the Bills and the moves they made. And do you think now with Rex Ryan coming in and now McCoy that the Buffalo Bills' image nationally isn't as poor as it was, let's say, even last year? I mean, let's say even a few years ago, or let's just say the last 15 years not making the playoffs. Do you think these signings are going to help?
You know, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm going to start with Rex Ryan. I've been a Jets fan since I was a kid. And I've never seen a coach with more intensity, more fire than Rex Ryan. So I think that alone is going to spark something with the Bills that they haven't had for years. You can't go from a guy like Dick Duran and Mike Mularkey and all those guys to Rex Ryan and not expect something big to happen. But then we go to next major signing, Richie Incognito. To me, I was a little apprehensive. I'm like, this guy has some issues. You know, he's a mess. More I thought about it, though, more like, he's a good offensive line player. He has a lot to offer, and bringing in a guy like LeSean McCoy, you know, I'm honest, they're setting the team up to run game. And I think it's going to be a real big success. If they can make the playoffs, I can almost guarantee the fan base for the Buffalo Bills is going to expand not only within the area, not even just within even Ontario, but it's going to spread through the United States like wildfire, kind of like the Seahawks. I mean, we're looking at a team that for the longest time was pretty bad. You get themselves a quarterback, they get themselves some really nice defensive players, and they're probably the biggest team in America right now. And I would even go as far as to call them America's team.
All right, money. You know this. You know he's a Bills. He's a Bills guy just as much as you are. And you know he's saying America's team. You know, I'm not from the area. I don't think or know if that's going to reach that far. I think most of you guys are just happy that you're going to make the playoffs, and you're happy that you're even. You know, well. I think most Buffalo Bills fans, the ones I talk to, are just happy they're making relevant moves. You know, they're not picking up a coach that special teams guy or was a failed head coach from another team. They're making serious moves here. Rex Ryan's a good football coach, like him or not. The guy's a good coach. And then they make the McCoy move and Incognito. Do you think, you know, the perception's gone? And, you know, do you think this is the right move for the Bills now? They could finally make some steps and do the right thing they're supposed to do, and that's win games and make it to the freaking playoffs. It's been 15 years, and it's too long.
Yeah, it has been too long. And, you know, I'm from the generation, you know, I was 11 when they went to their first Super Bowl. So, it's been way far too long, and it's way too unfair for Bills fans to have to wait this long because we're so loyal to our team. And as far as are these good moves for the team, you don't really know because you got to wait till they get on the field. They're bold moves. They're being bold. They're being aggressive in free agency. They're being aggressive with trades, and I like that. It's haven't seen from a GM in a long time here in Buffalo. A lot of things go into that, and it's the Rex Ryan effect, like we were talking about before. Rex Ryan wanted Kiko Alonso traded, or that's so a report that the Buffalo News is putting out there, because he didn't fit his scheme, because Kiko Alonso is not a good run defender. Yeah, he's good in pass protection, pass defense, rather, but as far as run defense, he's not great because he's not big enough. You know, then you bring in a guy like McCoy. What can you say about this guy? You know, he won the rushing title 2 years ago. He's got the most rushing yards out of any back in the last 5 years. And, you know, he's one of the top backs in the league. I mean, that right there should excite the fan base. Obviously they're going to go into free agency and bolster their offensive line. If they can lure a guy like Mikey Potty in here, you know, he's a mauling guard, you know, road grader, great for the run game. I mean, it's just they have so many moves they can make just to make this team better. And you know what? Even if you have a guy like Cashley, you have a guy like Manuel, or if they bring in somebody like Locker or Matt Moore, and all three of these guys compete for the quarterback job. I mean, Rex Ryan brought the Jets to two straight AFC Championship games with Mark Sanchez. So,
yes.
You know, I mean, if you got a strong running game and a great defense, I think they'll be fine as long as the quarterback plays slightly above average.
This said here, the Eagles signed Frank Gore. I think that's just a move just to fill a spot. Frank Gore's been in the league 10 years, good running back, but the Eagles do sign Frank Gore, and they re-signed Mark Sanchez to 2 years, which baffles me, but to be honest with you, there's not many quarterbacks out there. And Nick, I'm going to talk to you about the quarterback position here in Buffalo. You got E.J. Manuel that a lot of people were so high on, but yet he couldn't beat out Kyle Orton. But then it comes out a little bit that Marrone probably didn't like this E.J. Dill anyway. Even though he liked him at first, he quickly went to Orton, and now Orton's not here, and they signed Matt Castle. And I think, I don't care who you sign, you got to have a quarterback, or at least a half-decent quarterback. And I think the worst thing that happened to E.J. Manuel was sitting out, because you got to learn, you know, and there was no one to really learn from. Orton's a veteran, but what did he really learn from Orton? They're two different styles of quarterbacks. I think if you're going to learn the quarterback position, you have to be behind someone that your game kind of resembles. And I don't think those two have anything close to the style of play at the quarterback position. So what do you think about the quarterback situation? Because you can have the best running back in the league or one of the top three or top five. Doesn't matter if you have no quarterback, because you got to throw eventually.
You know, yeah. Here's my thought on the quarterback issue right now is, you know, you look at some teams that have gone to the Super Bowl over the past 10, 15 years, they have great defenses. They have great run games. But what do they have? They have an average quarterback at best. The Bears, when they went to the Super Bowl against Indianapolis, quarterback was Rex Grossman. And after that year, we didn't hear much about him anymore. I think he went to the Redskins and then disappeared. I don't know if I think that if Castle can fill that role very well. I don't know if E.J. Manuel can be able to step up. But if they can play just one step above Kyle Orton did, we're at least a playoff team. And I think that's something that's almost as good as a Super Bowl for Bills fans, because, you know, in the area, everyone's dying just to see them go to the playoffs just one time.
Yeah, it's a great point, great point. Now, Money, you know, I'm going to give you guys last thoughts on this, and we're going to go to your Sabres. Look, I wasn't going to talk Sabres, but...
Do we have to?
But you guys are Sabres guys, and, you know, we got some hockey fans listening. So, hockey, you guys aren't looking too good right now, and you kind of called this, Money, earlier last year. You called it. You said they would tank, but I don't think even you thought this would happen.
No, we thought last year was bad. They got 53 points total last year. They might have lower than that this year. This is historically bad. I mean, this probably might turn out to be, if not the worst, one of the worst hockey teams the NHL has ever seen. And they were bad before Tim Murray made those four trades on the trade deadline last week. I mean, they had to happen, obviously, because they're not – and I've been arguing with people back and forth about this. I'm very passionate about this, you know, staying in 30th. I mean, you need one of these cornerstone franchise players in Eichel or McDavid. And I've argued with people all year about this. Right now, especially halfway past the season, yeah, the first month you're going to cheer for them, sure. See how they can do. Well, right off the bat, they were terrible. I mean, all the analytics show it. Puck possession, shots for, shots against, horrible. I mean, hilariously horrible. It's not even close. But right now, they're not gaining anything winning games. They're gaining nothing. They're, by winning games, they're actually losing, if that makes sense. They're doing the right thing. They're making the right moves, all right? They're keeping their kids in Rochester where they should be, because you bring kids up here to a losing environment like you have now, it's going to ruin a kid. It really is. I mean, look what's going on in Edmonton. They had three straight first overall picks in Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You got Taylor Hall, and Everly was a top five pick, all right? And they're still horrible. But the Sabres are doing it right. They're picking players, developing them first, bringing them up, making sure that they're ready, and then bringing them up, all right? Next year, you're going to see a 20 to 25-point increase from where they were this year. I'm calling that right now. They're going to be almost a, it's going to be almost a 180, because they're going to bring up all these kids, and you know what? They're going to have McDavid or Eichel, and they're going to be able to sign, you know, decent free agents, maybe even big-time free agents. You don't know. I mean, there's already a report that Neuvirth was coming back. So that's cool. I mean, because he's been playing great. But people in Buffalo just need to relax. Because Sabres fans, let's face it, we're really on one side of the fence or the other on this, and it's been a fight between fans. Should we lose? Should we cheer for them to lose? Why should we do that? This is our team. But you know what? It's all about the future. They're not gaining anything by winning games right now. It's all about the future and getting that top pick and surrounding those players. Surrounding a player like that with great players, they've already done it in acquiring Evander Kane. You know, you got guys in the farm system that are going to be coming up soon. So it's an exciting time. They got the best farm system in the entire NHL. It's an exciting time right now. And if they stay in 30th, great. They get Eichel or McDavid. I'm excited. So it's about the future. Look at the bigger picture. That's what I'm saying to Sabres fans right now. Bigger picture. Don't worry about wins now. It's about the bigger picture.
All right, Nick, your thoughts on what G might have said about the Sabres, and then we'll make some last comments, then we'll go ahead and keep going with the show. But, Nick, when you think about what G Money said, it makes sense. You guys are not doing well, and, you know, you're kind of wanting to sit in 30th like Money just said. But are you looking to the future, or are you a little more disappointed right now, and are you as optimistic as Money is about the future?
You know, in the beginning of the season, I thought about this Eichel or McDavid kid, like these kids, do we know that they're that great? They're college and junior players. We don't know if they're going to translate well to the NHL. But as time goes on, I see them make these incredible plays. They're team players, and they are generational players. I've heard them be compared to Sidney Crosby and, you know, just game changers in places like Pittsburgh and that. So I think by exactly what he said, by winning, we're losing. And the more we lose, the better off we are, because if we get a top two pick, we get a kid that's going to come in here and change the culture completely. We will have one of the youngest teams in the NHL with fairly little experience, if any, in the NHL. We're going to have Gregorenko up here. We're going to have McDavid or Eichel. We're also going to have Sam Reinhart. We're going to have Pesek. We're going to, you know, it's just going to be a young team, but they're going to have energy. They're going to be able to move the puck. So I honestly think if we lost every one of the last games, everyone in Buffalo should be happy about that. It's been a long time for Buffalo hockey as well as Buffalo football that there's been a reason to really cheer. I look at other teams that have tried the rebuild thing, such as Edmonton, and they can't do it. The big problem with them is they don't have a strong presence on defense. They bring in old goaltenders that really just can't help the team at all. With the addition of a McDavid or Eichel, or the strong defensive core that we already have, and if we bring back a young guy like Neuvirth, there's no doubt in my mind that there's going to be at least a 20-point increase from this year.
Rebuttal to G Money. Not really a rebuttal, but you know, you kind of agree with what he said. But G Money, your show's got to start going on soon. When do you plan to come on? And Nick, you know, good first show. a little nervous, of course. Don't worry about it. We'll get better as you go, as it goes on. But I hope you enjoyed yourself. We'll definitely have you back on. Stay in touch. You know, I'll call you after the show, and we'll talk and try to get you just involved a little bit more. That we'll explain to you what we need to do. And we'll talk to you soon, Nick. You know, good job coming on, and you'll be back.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right, G-Money, so when are we going to get, G-Money's sports shows rolling here soon, keeping the fans up on the Buffalo Sabres and really touching on all West New York also, you know, international if you have to. Doesn't matter. When are you going to go back on Money? And I think it's time that, you know, you got to get your groove back, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. I completely agree. I want to start getting some shows going here, starting, you know, the NCAA tournament's coming up. You know, I like that. I'm big into that. So I'd like to get see if I can grab a couple of guys that I know that are big into that, and see, you know, we can come on, do a couple of those shows. But definitely, man, Sabres, Bills, you know, OTAs are going to be starting in a month or so. It's going to be fun. You know, you got the draft coming up soon. You got the NHL draft coming up. You got the lottery coming up. As though the lottery day, it's the Tuesday after the end of the season, so that's going to be a huge night for Buffalo, especially if they end up in 30th. You know, a lot of pins and needles, a lot of people. I'm already hearing that people are going to have parties just for the draft,
yeah.
Man. It's something. It's unprecedented, really. And just if I may, just to touch on the Sabres, just real quick before I go. And a lot of people have also argued with me, Trent, that one player does not make a team. And I completely agree. I completely agree 100%. But if you have a special player like a McDavid or Eichel or a Crosby or a Thornton or whoever else, like Kane or Taves, guys like that, and you put great players around them, you put good role-filling, role-playing players around them, like Chicago has done, like Pittsburgh has done, like the Kings have done, you know, like the Bruins did, you know, like the Panthers are doing now. I mean, the Panthers are – you look at the Panthers, that's where I want the Sabres to be in 2-3 years, where they are right now, because they're a team on the upswing. So is Calgary. So one player does not make a team, yes, but they already have very, very good prospects in the pipeline. You bring in a guy like McDavid or Eichel, sky's the limit here. And you got great defensemen like Ristolainen, like Zadora, like Pesek, like McCabe. I mean, there's your top four right there, and those guys aren't even over 21 yet. And Zadora and Ristolainen are already showing flashes of being superstars. So it's going to be big. We're going to be starting shows in a week or two here with the NCAA tournament. Sabres, you know, we got 16 games left. Hopefully they lose all of them. You know, the Bills are getting exciting. We'll see what they do in free agency starting on Tuesday, man. It's an exciting time to be a Buffalo sports fan.
All right, Money, looking forward for your shows coming on. Thanks for coming on, man. Good stuff. And we will hear from you definitely pretty soon.
You bet, man. Take it easy.
All right, Money. G-Money and the newest guy, Nick, here on the Trent White Sports Radio Show. Talking about some local sports. Look, they're Sabres guys. They're Bills guys. And you know what? For all you Sabres and Bills fans, look, I get on the teams. I talk about both teams, but they have a better insight. You know, they have better insight because they're passionate fans. I don't pretend, and let's make this very straight when I do a show. I don't pretend that I'm the know-it-all and I could bring you that same passion being a Buffalo Bills fan. No, and if you notice most of my shows, I'll talk local, but if I do, I'm bringing on a guy like G-Money, like The Mouth, like a few other guys. Slapshot Rob comes on. Those guys who live and breathe Bills, because I don't. I live and breathe the NFL, boxing, UFC. I even get into NASCAR. Doesn't mean I don't like the Bills and Sabres. No, I like to get the real people on who've been living with this team since they were kids. And by me being not from here, I just can't bring it to you like they can. But I tell you what. Breaking news here really quick. G-Money just informed me that Jerry Hughes is close to signing with the Bills. Another good signing. So the Bills are making moves. The Bills are now a relevant team. And for all you Dallas and all you NFL guys who look at Buffalo and laugh, maybe they're going to have the last laugh here and maybe just shove this all down everyone's throats. But everything they got so far has been well-deserved. Well-deserved. And when you think about getting stuff well-deserved, you have a situation like this. A guy's a great player, but he's a bigger jerk. So you kind of weigh it up. You're an owner. I want to win football games. Yes, Adamican Sue is an idiot. Yes, he's dirty. But let's be honest here. Go back to the Dick Butkus days. I wasn't alive. A lot of you guys weren't alive. I hope none of you were, but some of you were. How football was played. Let's be honest here. It's how it was played back then, but not now. And I kind of hate to compare that because it kind of makes it seem like humans in this country were not civilized. They were more ignorant. They were rougher. They were cavemanish. No. Just things change. And you guys know how I always say this. I always say we became a country and it became a people of political correctness. Oh, you got to watch what you say. I don't watch what I say, and I've gotten in trouble for it. But I'm who I am. For all you guys who are new to this show and just new to everything know that I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, and everything I got, I had to scrape, kick, and crawl to get. Like this radio show. I can't get a radio show job in a bigger area to save my life. Why? Because I'm a threat. Why? Because I'm not going to let you tell me how to do my shows. Yet I get bigger guests than these guys do, and they pay big money to get guys on, and they're boring, and they're on every day, and you listen to them just because you have to. If you don't have Sirius, you can't get ESPN radio, so you got to listen to these boring guys every day of your life, and they tell you the same thing over and over again, and they don't leave the West New York area. I think that's crap radio and boring. But I fought hard for this. I used to do shows and no one listened. Met G Money, start picking up, start going out, doing shows. Didn't think it was working. Yeah, it started working. But let's go back to Adamican Sue. Look, would you sign up for your team? I posted this 2 days ago. Would you want your team to sign Adamican Sue? As a football player, great. As a character guy, no. But you know what? We see what he does on the field. I'm very careful. Very careful. To judge these guys who I never met. To judge these guys on what I see them do in the field. And I don't know what they're like when they take off that uniform, put on civilian clothes, drive their car to their house and see their families, and they shut the door, and that's all we see of them. I don't like doing that. But from a football standpoint, the guy looks unstable. And the Miami Dolphins didn't care about any of this. I mean, these guys signed him to 6 years, approximately $114 million. $114 million for Adamican Sue, I think they overpaid. And he better be lights out down there for them to realize that their money, look, even if he is lights out, that's too much money. Look, you guys know how I feel about giving these guys stupid money. That's stupid money, but they got him. Detroit, I think, wasn't going to pay him that. I respect what they did. I wouldn't pay a guy that either. That's quarterback money. And that's quarterback money for a guy like Tom Brady. Notice I didn't say Peyton Manning. Discussion that I'm going to talk about really quick here because I think Sue got overpaid, but he's a good football player. He's a good football player. What he does on the field affects the team and affects who watches. Look, there's kids watching. There's older people watching. There's just a national spotlight on him. And he does things. You know, he does. But does it mean he shouldn't get paid? Does it mean if he signed with the Bills or your team, wherever you're listening from, you would hate it? No, because he would create havoc for the offensive line. No, because he would get sacks. No, because he would stop the run. And you would completely forget Adamican Sue's issues on the field. Because let's be honest here. We need to convince ourselves this. Please, relax when you watch the NFL. Stop thinking you're watching a bunch of priests on the field playing football. Forget you're watching, you know, bad guys. Not everyone's bad in the NFL, but let's be honest. Most are bad guys. The word bad guys, given second, third, fourth, fifth chances, and we watch them anyway, we don't care. Look, Adrian Peterson whipped this kid with a belt, left bruises, whatever. Not good. Not good at all. But as a football fan, you'll forget that if he's wearing a uniform, crossing the goal line after burning someone for 80 yards. You'll completely forget it. That's my point. Let's not be too high and mighty as a society, as a football fan, when we watch these guys. Because I'm not fooled by what I'm watching. I know what I'm watching. I'm watching the guy that may help my team win, but when he goes out with his homies, he may go to a strip club, make it rain, shooting happens, blah, blah, blah. Oh, we know a lot of guys who have been in worse situations. You guys know the linebacker, manslaughter charges or whatever, someone died. Remember? Remember that? But we forgot about it. We forgot about it because why? He's on TV. He's beloved by a lot of people, but we're a country of second chances. That's all I'm saying. Look, it's a great time to be an NFL guy. But the NFL has come off one of its worst seasons ever. Ray Rice, on film, most of these charges we see with NFL players aren't on film. We got a guy on film knocking out his girlfriend. And I tell you what, it made me very mad watching that because I have four sisters, and he literally punched his wife or fiance at the time in the face. But most will forgive him when he puts on their jersey. And it surprised me a little bit that some people still wore Ravens jerseys and supported him. I didn't get that. Breaking news here from G-Money. The Bills are reporting that they're going to release Fred Jackson. Not a surprise. Let's be honest. Fred Jackson, not a surprise at all. God bless him. The guy took the hardest way to get to the NFL and produced and made the most of his opportunity. But it's time to go. So where's that leave CJ? Rumor is, you know, CJ, whatever. Turn down what money, whatever. I think the Bills would be very careful here. As big as the signing was, you got to have some guys back there just in case when an injury happens. Just in case. You got to have other guys behind the man. Freddie Jackson gone. See, that's as quick as the NFL could chew you up, spit you out. And, look, the guy's doing M&T commercials. How many of you guys ran the M&T to open up a checking account? Because Freddie told you so. It's going to be someone else telling you to wave the green flag now. But that's the business. He'll latch on to another team, and hopefully he does. He's a good player. He's done some good work here in Buffalo. He'll latch on somewhere else and finish his career. But he's a very inspirational story if you look at it. If you look at it, he's a very inspirational story because he didn't get here the easy way. Dominican Sue, quick hit on that one. Message, you know, I do use Facebook. We have open chat. Yeah, but they wouldn't have paid him. I think the worst part of this contract is $60 million guaranteed. That's insane. $60 million is guaranteed. Oh, my goodness. What a hell of a contract for a guy that most will say doesn't deserve it. But he got it. He got it. We're not going to go ahead and talk about how NFL guys act. Not going to do that. Not going to talk about the Miami Dolphins done. They're trying to win. And my point is, Bills fans, you can go the way of getting good guys who are just good players, but there's not many of those guys. And most guys have baggage, and you just got to accept it. You just got to accept it. Look, do we forget Rex Ryan and his foot fetish on video? Do we forget that? I'm not trying to bring up old things, but I'm saying you got to give guys a second chance. We all can recall that. The whole foot fetish with his wife and all the other nonsense. I didn't think it was a big deal. I thought it was funny. But still, got to overlook those things. I'm not the judge and jury. None of us are. None of us are. And when you go ahead and start looking at things, you want to sign a guy, you want to see what his character is. The NFL is the biggest bunch of hypocrites. I've been saying this for years. The biggest bunch of hypocrites I've ever seen in my life. And Roger Goodell, I tell you right now, I don't think he's a good commissioner. Yes, he made the NFL richer, but by making it richer, he made things higher on the hardworking guy that goes to work every day. And when you guys want to brag about, oh, you know, he took the NFL, he's making it bigger. Yes, and guess what? You're barely paying for tickets now. You won't be able to pay another 2 years. It's going to be a rich man's sport. They got to walk a fine line to making sure it's affordable for families and just for the local guy. And for the guys who support the team, guess what, guys? Rich people don't support the NFL. It's the hardworking people who do. The rich people may own the teams, But you can't own a team and be profitable if you make it too high for the people who work hard every day and save money to get tickets, to take their kids, or just because they've been following the team forever, or to buy a jersey, or whatever. That's just the way it is. Quick hit on Facebook. What do I think about college football? We got a high school deal, me personally. Look, I'm going to go personal real quick here. Wasn't going to say this now, but guys know that those who know me personally know I'm a nice guy. In our scouting service, we help kids get to college. We do the best we can, and we're not promising you anything. We are guiding you to help you know what the NCAA rules are. We're helping you understand what things are and what you got to do to get there. And we will give your information and shop you to the coaches who we know, and those who we don't know, we'll get your kids exposure. We do it. Me and James Mallory run a camp that's going to be even bigger next year, start taking off. So that's what we do. We're on Channel 2 talking about it. Been several places talking about it, and this is what I do. But I had a little incident with my own son. You know, if you look at my kids, you know, they're good athletes. They're talented football players. And, you know, as a parent, you wonder, how do you step back and let a coach do what he has to do without overstepping the bounds? Well, just so happened there's a coach at my son's high school that's been running roughshod for years. Been running roughshod for years, doesn't answer back calls when coaches call for kids. Just an arrogant guy. Parents scared to actually confront this guy about how he treats the kids and how he treats the team because he's their kid's gym teacher and they don't need a, you know, and they need a good grade to pass gym class. He uses that against them. Enter me. Not from here. Pretty straightforward guy. Not going to get walked on by President Obama or anyone else when I see it wrong. For all you guys who know football, it doesn't matter how good the kid is. You don't put a kid in a position of him getting hurt. Now, in football, you can get hurt in any position. You can get hurt, you know, in practice. We understand that. The kids understand that. Parents understand that. The coaches understand that. That's football. I mean, give you my son, one of the top defensive ends in Western New York, 15 years old, 6'4", about 185. Big frame. He's going to put on muscle. Had a good season last year at tackle. At tackle. Now, mind you, I'm going to say it again. 6'4", 185, at tackle in AA here in West New York. Large schools. Well, my son got a concussion against Orchard Park with a guy that gave it to him, outweighed him by 70 pounds. He had to miss two games. As a parent, you're looking out for your kid. You can care less what the coach is saying. You're not telling the coach what to do. You step in as a parent. And I'm telling all you parents that right now, when your kid goes to school and plays for a sport, you don't relinquish your rights to him at all. So anyway, before that even happened, I went to the superintendent, the AD, the vice principal, and had all these guys who were buddies look me in the face and tell me, you know what, we're going to look into this guy. We're going to take care of this. Yeah, he shouldn't have been a tackle. We understand your concern. Well, the football team has, you know, winter practice. You know, they all line up. They don't do any drills, but they put the team together and, you know, just do things they do. And this guy put him at tackle. My son texted me, Daddy, put me at tackle, and I went off. And I went off because after all the years of actually talking to these guys, I did everything right. You take the steps. You talk to the AD for about a year. Then you go to the athletic director. Well, then you go to the vice principal. And then you go to the superintendent, as high as you can go. And then after you do all that, you're told to start where you began. Again, go to him. So now I'm mad already. And now you put my son, when I came to you and said, look, let him play defense. He's not big enough for that position. I understand. It's not my fault you only get 25 kids out on the football team out of 1,300, almost 1,400 kids because they don't like you and you're a jerk. They won't play for you. Don't fill my son in a spot just because you can't get the right guy there. Either get rid of the coach or you just figure something else out. On top of that, he's not getting any kids to college. If you go down and look at Kenmore West's record among every other kid, compared to Williamsville North, how many kids, no matter if it's D1, 2, or 3, have gone to college, and the coach had an active role in doing that? You won't see that much here at Ken West. And so when I got that, I blew up. I called the vice principal's number, and I said some very nasty, very vulgar things. Very nasty. Very, very nasty. F-bombs, everything. I was completely out of my mind because now I'm not just talking to you about all the other kids. I'm talking about my son. and you act like you don't care. And I lost it. Next thing I know, about 2 weeks later, I get a summons to go to court. Not only did this guy have the nerve to send me to court and had the nerve that he waited a few weeks before he even did this, he said some things in that report that I didn't even say. That I was going to physically harm him, this and that, blah, 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 and I didn't. Luckily, I have a great attorney. I'm not going to do any jail time, but still, it's the point. Just so happened, I live in the area. I see people. People aren't very favorable about what he's done. I may be a loudmouth. I may stick my nose in places when I'm trying to protect kids. Panache is my son. You ranked it up about 50 degrees. And so now this guy sent me to court and then had the nerve 2 weeks later in practice to ask where he was. Well, the reason he waited almost 2 weeks to file those charges, he found out that I'm probably going to put my son in a different school. He can't play for him. So that's what I've been going through. And it's tough because it's my kid. And that's what's been going on. Haven't been real friendly the past 2 weeks, but, you know, I'm really upset. But not really. I got some good guys behind me, and I know I didn't say that, and he knows I didn't say that. And even the superintendent and the AD that sent me a letter and said it was a very offensive, perceived as threatening message you left. If you do it again, you're banned from games. Okay, fine. I didn't do it again. And you best believe if I did say what he said I said, the school cop would have called his buddies and I'd have been done. But I didn't. But that shows you how far a coach would go. So as a parent, don't be scared of what happened to me. If a coach does something out of line, when you have a concern about your kid and they pretty much tell you to go stick it, it's not your responsibility. He's out of his freaking mind. Because your kid comes home to you. If anything's wrong, you got to deal with it. That's your kid for the rest of his and your life. You never let a football coach, a baseball coach, a soccer coach, any coach in school, with a championship or not. And granted, this coach is below 500, by the way. Below 500. Never won anything. But even if they did, it doesn't matter. There's a line you step over as a coach when a parent comes to you and requests that, look, my son's not big enough for the spot. And then I know football on top of that. I'm not this dumb parent coming up who don't know football, who's begging for you to play. No, not at all. I know the game. I help kids get to school, for heaven's sakes. We know the game. And when I talk to bigger coaches in West New York around him, they ask me, why is he playing that? There's no reason for it. And I'll do it all over again if it came to sticking up for my kids. Maybe I wouldn't, you know, be as crazy on the phone as I was. But I didn't know where else to go. I did all the right steps. What else do you do? What else can you do? You know, sometimes when you go off the handle and don't do those things, people say, well, maybe you should have did this. No, I did those things over a two-year period. And still, they don't do anything, and now I'm doing this. So for those who are wondering, that's the story, and everything's going to be okay. I appreciate your concern, but, you know, here to do a sports show, but you guys all know I'll tell my personal side and what's going on with me all the time. I do that a lot. I'm not going to hide nothing from you. Got some NBA stuff coming up here. Look, for all you guys who sent me an email when I wasn't doing shows telling me that I told you Cleveland would be doing fine, LeBron's the man, let me tell you something. They're looking pretty good. I'm not going to sit here and try to backtrack on what I said. I just said I liked the Miami Heat better when they were having LeBron, Bosh, and Wade. I still don't think the big three in Cleveland is anywhere near the big three in Miami. Do we forget what they did? Guys, during the championship the last 4 years. Come on. Come on, guys. At least give them that. It was a very successful venture. And right now the Cleveland Cavaliers are 40-25, second behind Atlanta, who no one seems to talk about. Second behind Atlanta. I think, I'm telling you right now, I'm sticking with Atlanta until somebody beats them. I'm going to stick with them. I'm not saying they're going to win the East, but they're going to be right there. It's a very tough basketball team to beat. So, yes, you're laughing, you're joking. Look at the Heat now. They're sitting in ninth place at 28-34. Chris Bosh, serious injury, blood clots in the lungs. He's out. Wade's getting older. That's a horrible team. Okay, we kind of figured that would happen. But my goodness. And for the Golden State Warriors, they're not going to win the title, guys. I don't care if they're 49-12 sitting first in the West, right above the Grizzlies. The team that's going to win it, I think, I'm going to tell you right now, if you are, and they're fighting for this eighth spot, the Pelicans are right behind them. Oklahoma City Thunder, you guys are fools if you think any one of the top seeds, if they finish eighth, wants to face them in the first round. That's a dangerous basketball team. I'm sure if you're Golden State, Memphis, the Rockets, Portland, whoever, you don't want to see Oklahoma City right there. Possibly the first round opponent for your team. Now, granted, Kevin Durant still rehabbing his foot. He's starting to have injuries. You know, Westbrook's been on fire. They're only a game up on the Pelicans. I mean, look, things can change. Things can change really quick here, but I think they're going to be somewhere around 8-7, somewhere. And if they finish 8 or 7, it doesn't really matter, because if you're one of the top teams, you got to face those guys in the first round. Normally, you probably face those guys second round, third round. You don't want to face them in the first. So as far as your email is about Golden State, blah, blah, yeah, look, they're good. I like Golden State. I think they're a good basketball team. They're good. But I just can't bring myself to ignore the fact that the Oklahoma City Thunder might finish 7th or 8th, and people want to face that, because you don't want to face those guys. You don't want to face those guys. It's going to be a very dangerous situation for anyone in the top. Got some comments on the champ. The champ, great interview with the champ. Can't wait to see him fight at First Niagara. The champ did say they're trying to get things together to bring some big fights here. The champ also, like I said, he's got to defend his belt. He's going to get some bigger fights. I think he's going to bring some big names to Buffalo. And I think, look, if you're a councilman and you want to liven up downtown, start having live fights for one. You're putting all this money downtown in Buffalo. Start having live fights. Among other things you could do, but start bringing live fights here. It's not hard to get a city back on track. Some of you guys living in Dallas, living in California, living in other parts of the country who has big cities and don't know anything different but a big city or a downtown you can go to and have fun, well, guess what? They don't have that really in Buffalo much, and it's not the fans' fault. It's the freaking politicians, and they're trying to get it right. And I think adding the element of sports to it would bring any city back. I think the stadium being somewhere other than Orchard Park for the Bills will bring some of that back. It's not hard. It's not hard. Look, appreciate you guys sending me these emails, and I don't know. Listen, not going to talk about a lot of things right now. We have a whole week of shows coming up. We just wanted to get started. Got some nice shows coming up about the high school situation here, as far as how far you go as a parent when it comes to your kid. We're going to talk about some kids who just signed to go to big schools. We got some kids still left out of the mix that I'm kind of disappointed about, local kids who should be getting ready to go to college after they graduate, but they didn't and they aren't because of some coaches and the school district failing them as far as helping them get to the next level. And a lot of these kids have good grades, which just baffles my mind. Going to have some high school coaches on here. Tim Delaney again, South Park. We're going to have some basketball coaches on. A lot of basketball going on. It's basketball playoffs all over the country right now, here in West New York and everywhere else. A lot of basketball going on. We got some basketball here in West New York, I think, second to none. I think it's pretty good. You know, coming from Philly, there's some good teams down there, but West New York always has some top teams, I think, that can go in any tournament and kind of have a good showing for themselves. So, look, not going to go off on a tangent about everything. I gotta save some. So I appreciate everything. You know, look, I've been off for a long time, and it's been great being off. I think, you know, we're gonna bring some controversial shows for all you guys who aren't really used to this kind of show. There's gonna be some very controversial shows. When you come and listen to my show, you know, take the gloves off. Take off the censorship. I mean, look, I don't want you coming on here talking like a sailor, but look, whatever's on your mind, let's talk about it. I don't care if it's race. I don't care if it's anything. If it's a legitimate debate, we can have it. Nothing better than a debate. And look, any topic's good here. I'm not going to censor you. I'm not going to have some powder puff conversation that we can't get too, edgy about, or just speak our mind and say certain things that aren't politically correct. Look, this isn't a bad show. I think this show does a lot, and the reason this show is popular is because when you come on this show and you want to talk about things, you can talk about them. And you can say what you feel. If you're a racist guy calling me from the South and you don't think, blacks should get the money they get in the NFL, I'm going to let you talk as long as you ain't saying anything crazy. I'm going to debate you on that. You could do those things here. You can't do them anywhere else. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to bring up topics that people want to talk about, that you talk about with your buddies in the car, that you talk about your group, the water cooler, wherever. The way you talk to your friends about certain sports, bring that here. Do not bring half of a conversation here and leave out the bad stuff. When I say bring it here, I mean bring it here. And let's have a real conversation about real issues. That's the problem with that's the problem with even sometimes ESPN. Everything's orchestrated. I love ESPN. And I listen to ESPN, but sometimes they're too protective. How can you fix a problem if you're not going to talk about it? You have fixed it because you're half talking about it. We're going to have some very controversial issues here on this show, and I'm warning you right now, we got some big things with local colleges coming up that have some pretty disturbing points to it. I was told not to say nothing about it yet, but when I do, it's going to be very interesting. We're going to look at the graduation rate nationwide among inner cities, but yet some of the best athletes come from that. We got to talk about that because there's a disconnect somewhere. And I think a black player is better than catching the football or making a hoop. I just don't think blacks as a society should just focus everything for their kid on the football field or the basketball court. And we're going to talk about that because guess what? There's some people who say, hey, you know what? That's their way out. Why is it their way out? That's an old adage and an old statement that's been said a long time. And sometimes it is their way out. But why does it have to be? If you could put enough effort in learning how to play football, going to the court and doing this and that with the parents' blessing, why can't you get the same type of way out through education, putting that same energy in books? End of story. Some people aren't going to like that. That's one of the topics we're working on. But look, I just thank my sponsors, Coca-Cola. They've been there since day one. Coca-Cola is probably one of the best sponsors I had because if I need something for the kids that can't, they give it to me. If I need anything, they give it to me. We're going to really, be really pushing our sponsors hard. This is a brand new station. We're going to be on the road a lot more. Probably going to go to Rochester. We're going to be downtown Buffalo. We're going to be everywhere. Be more vocal. We're going to hit up Children's Hospital, visit some of the kids. We're going to have a lot of things going on now, Being away kind of re-energized me, and being away made me understand how many people that we affect on this radio show, which I didn't really think we did. I knew our numbers were okay, but my goodness, we affect a lot of people. And they like what we talk about, so we're going to take it to the road. Sorry about Mario Elie. I talked to him 2 days ago. He did say that he might come on, but he had some things coming up. Mario Elie, a big-time NBA player, 3-time NBA champ, played with some of the greats. He's a very busy man. I was lucky I called him when I did. Do understand why he didn't come on. We'll have him on again. We're going to have a lot of people on, former athletes, current athletes. It's going to happen real good here. Guys, look, thank you for listening. I'm going to cut it off because if I keep talking, I'm going to go on to many of the big subjects we have. We're going to have some guests on and some very interesting shows that you guys can call in and comment on because they're going to be controversial. It's not just the way I want it. It's just things that came to my doorstep that I'm going to put on the air, and people came to me because they know I'll talk about it when some stations won't. I appreciate that. Look, you guys, if you want to hear this show again, pass along to your friends. The podcast will be on the Trenton White Sports page on Facebook. Look, like us on Facebook. You know all the updates in sports, also what's going on with the show. Hear the podcast again. Pass along to your friends. Follow us on Twitter at TWMedia44. We will see you tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are back, and it's good to be back where we're bringing you guys some of the best sports topics, and you can vent here like you can nowhere else. I'd like to thank G Money, Nick, for coming on. For all the listeners, hit me up on instant message on Facebook, the chat. Thank you guys. We'll talk to you later. Good to be back. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 8. Take care.